Are your investments all rowing in the same direction? It might be time to rebalance the boat. Hi, I'm Rob West. For years, U.S. stocks have led the way, but when everyone crowds to one side of the market, a shift is often just around the corner. Mark Biller joins us today to explain why foreign stocks might be the next wave of opportunity. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest Mark Biller is executive editor at Sound Mind Investing and underwriter of this program. Mark and his team are always watching the markets, so you don't have to. Mark, great to have you back.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be back with you.
Mark, why should U.S. investors pay more attention to foreign stocks?
Yeah, well, the main reason, Rob, is diversification. You know, foreign stocks are another way to have equities in your portfolio, but yet they move a little differently than U.S. stocks. And this year's been a great example of that. During the first quarter of this year, U.S. stocks were down about 4%, while a common foreign fund that we use at SMI was up over 8%. So they really marched to their own drummer, at least at certain times. Now, 20 years ago, nobody would have thought twice about having 20% or more of their stock portfolio invested in international stocks. That was pretty normal practice, really. But a lot of investors have quit doing that in recent years. And a big reason for that is because the U.S. stock market has been so strong lately. So the article discusses how over the last 14 years, U.S. stocks have gained four times as much as foreign stocks. So not surprisingly, a lot of investors have seen that and they've just given up on investing in foreign stocks altogether. There are some examples in this article of how we've been at this point before, only to have the pendulum swing back the other way and see foreign stocks outperform for several years in a row.
Yeah, really interesting. Give us an example of that.
Yeah, sure. So the late 1990s were actually a pretty similar market period in a lot of different ways. That was, of course, the tech bubble when the whole world went crazy for U.S. internet stocks, much the same way that everyone has fallen in love recently with the Magnificent Seven tech and AI stocks over the last few years. And from 1995 to 1999, the S&P 500 gained more than 20% each year for five consecutive years. Well, that helped U.S. stocks gain 2.5 times as much as foreign stocks during that five-year period. But of course, then the dot-com peak came in March of 2000. And after that, performance for U.S. stocks versus foreign stocks flipped back the other way. So over the next 7.5 years, U.S. stocks really didn't go anywhere. They were up just 13% total in 7.5 years. Meanwhile, foreign stocks did a lot better. They gained almost 70% over those 7 years. So it really helped to have that international diversification.
Exactly. And like we said at the top of the program, when everyone crowds to one side of the boat, markets have a way of readjusting the seating, don't they?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And a big part of why foreign stocks look so intriguing today is that U.S. stocks have become really richly valued over this 15 years of outperformance. Meanwhile, foreign stocks look pretty cheap as a result of being largely ignored. You know, the average price earnings ratio for the U.S. market is around 26 today. For the rest of the world, it's about 16. So that just means that U.S. stocks are really expensive by historical standards, while foreign stocks look relatively cheap. Now, I should add to that, Rob, we often tell our SMI members valuation is important, but by itself, it's not a helpful timing indicator. And we can see that foreign stocks have been cheap for several years now. But what that valuation gap does tell us is that if the pendulum does start to swing back in favor of foreign stocks, that's a move that could last for a while. And that makes sense because it took us 14 years to get to this one-sided condition in the first place. but it's important to know that the valuation alone doesn't really tell us when that's likely to happen.
Well, that's great information. Well, folks, if you want to check out their article we're talking about today, just head to soundmindinvesting.org and click Time for Foreign Stocks to Shine. Much more with Mark Biller when we come back right after this break. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
On Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem. On Monday, church tradition teaches he went into the temple courts and drove out the money changers. Now, why did Jesus do this just days before his death? Well, he said, "It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." What God had meant to be a place for the nations to come and pray to the one true God had become a center of commerce. And Jesus would not let this stand. It was one of his last public actions, but ultimately, it was by his blood on the cross that Jesus would fully pave the way for the nations to come to the Father. You'll grow in your walk with Jesus through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
We're going to talk about this further issue, our response, who's behind this.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Could this be the time to think about adding foreign stocks to your portfolio? Hi, I'm Rob West. With me today, Mark Biller on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're talking about an article in the recent SMI newsletter. The article is titled Time for Foreign Stocks to Shine. You can read it at soundmindinvesting.org. And Mark, you were sharing before the break why this might be the time where the market is kind of turning over away from the outperformance of domestic stocks to foreign holdings. And that's, of course, what the rest of the article covers. In fact, you get into six factors, potential catalysts that seem to be lining up in favor of foreign stocks. But before we get into those, tell us how the broad market setup has shifted since COVID and how that may play into a reversal toward foreign stocks.
Yeah, sure, Rob. So the massive government spending that we had in response to COVID really marked the end of a 40-year trend where we had progressively lower inflation and interest rates. And in the few years since COVID, that's reversed, and we've seen higher inflation and higher interest rates. Now, the reason that that matters is because the type of high-growth tech businesses that dominate the U.S. markets, they really thrive on that cheap money, those ultra-low interest rates. On the other hand, foreign markets really are much less heavily weighted toward tech. They favor more tangible businesses that in some cases actually become more valuable with higher inflation. So some of the ground rules shifting a little bit seemingly make things a little more attractive for foreign markets.
Yeah, no doubt. And in the article, Mark, you run through several Trump administration policies that actually may be catalysts to tip investor preferences toward foreign stocks. So tell us about a few of those.
Yeah, sure. And before I dive into those, Rob, I should point out that this isn't just theoretical. There's actually some evidence already that global investors are starting to vote with their feet a little bit. So during February and March, we did see significant outflows of U.S. stocks and stock funds, while foreign stocks had some pretty significant inflows. Now, one of the important catalysts that you're referencing for this kind of sudden interest in foreign stocks is that government spending trends are reversing. So over the last 5 years or so since COVID, the U.S. has run these enormous deficits. And those deficits, all that government spending, really helped keep the U.S. economy out of recession. It created much stronger economic growth here than most other countries experienced. And those were important factors in the dramatic outperformance of the U.S. stock market. Now, that dynamic is suddenly reversing. We've seen in the last couple of months, the Trump administration's very focused on cutting U.S. government spending. And at the same time, the tariff threats and the U.S. kind of pulling back from some of the world's military arrangements, these things have caused other countries to significantly boost their own government spending plans. So to kind of summarize that, the U.S. is reducing its fiscal spending while the rest of the world is increasing theirs. And one of the big investing lessons from the last few years is that the level of government spending has a powerful short-term impact on both economies and stock markets.
Yeah, that makes sense, Mark. Now, you highlighted something called sequencing risk in your January article previewing the new Trump administration. So I'd love for you to take a moment and explain that to our listeners and how that idea may impact foreign versus U.S. stock performance.
Yeah, sure. So sequencing risk was just a term that I used to explain that a lot of the economic risks from these new Trump plans seemed likely to hit in the short term, whereas a lot of the benefits from those Trump plans might not really kick in until further down the road. And tariffs are probably a good example of this since they're all over the news right now. Initially, tariffs tend to be disruptive. They reduce economic activity overall. That's painful in the short term. Now, why are we doing them if they're painful? Well, we're doing them anyway, because the hope is that in the long term, they'll make the U.S. more prosperous with better jobs, more security around our ability to make key goods here at home. So what we're really talking about, Rob, is a classic short-term pain, long-term gain kind of a situation. Now, that plays into this foreign versus U.S. stock dynamic because the short-term pain part is actually lowering U.S. economic growth estimates in the short run. Meanwhile, the response to our policies is causing a number of these other countries to take actions that are likely to boost their economic growth in the short run. And so when you just compare, and this is what investors do, they look at declining growth here versus improving growth prospects in some of these other countries. And then they look at the relatively high-priced U.S. stocks and the relative bargains available overseas, and it just starts to shift preferences a little bit at the margins from U.S. stocks towards foreign stocks.
Yeah, that all makes a lot of sense. Let's look at one more of the six you highlight in the article, Mark. Tell us about the flow of global capital and how that matters to this discussion.
Sure. So for the last 50 years or so, the world has largely run on the following economic agreement. That is, the U.S. buys everybody else's stuff, in other words, other countries' exports, and then the rest of the world recycles a lot of those dollars that they get from us and they plow those dollars back into U.S. financial assets. So in other words, foreigners buy a lot of U.S. stocks and bonds, and a lot of that is financed by our purchases of their goods. Now, that's arguably been a bad deal for U.S. workers, and that's why President Trump is wanting to change this global arrangement. But what really there isn't any controversy about is that it's been a great deal, a great thing for U.S. asset prices, because all these dollars coming into our markets have really caused U.S. asset prices to boom. So the potential issue is that if we reverse this, or at least just kind of crimp it a little bit, and we stop buying as much stuff from the rest of the world, then it stands to reason there would be less U.S. dollars being reinvested into U.S. stocks and bonds by foreigners.
Well, that's a lot of great information, Mark. All right, we're about out of time. Tie a bow on this for us. What do our listeners need to take away?
Yeah, well, first of all, Rob, we're not saying investors should dump all their U.S. stocks and buy foreign instead. It's not an either-or kind of thing.
Yeah.
We're just saying that it may be a good time to consider adding back a little bit of international diversification, especially for people that have completely stopped investing in foreign stocks. Foreign stocks are attractively valued relative to the U.S., and there are a bunch of factors converging right now that could be starting a performance move back in that direction.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. Well, I suspect a lot of our listeners will want to learn more about this, and the article we've been discussing today would be a great place to go. Just head to soundmindinvesting.org and click on the article, Time for Foreign Stocks to Shine. Mark, thanks for being with us, my friend.
Always my pleasure.
Folks, again, if you want to learn more, go to soundmindinvesting.org. The article is titled, Time for Foreign Stocks to Shine. Now, just a quick reminder as we head into this next break, don't call in. Our team is not here today, but we have some great questions we've lined up in advance. Those will be coming just on the other side of this break. More to come on Faith and Finance right after this. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Andy Miller, and I'm the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary based in Ridgeland, Mississippi. We are developing trusted leaders for faithful churches, and we do that based in the authority of Scripture and in the reality that Christians can be transformed. We do that also through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees. We'd love for you to learn more about Wesley Biblical Seminary at wbs.edu, where we're developing trusted leaders for faithful churches.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
The most important news ever is proclaimed on the new AFR Easter button. He is risen. Wear the button to remind those who see it that Jesus is alive and interceding for us from heaven. Order your AFR Easter buttons at $15 per 10-pack at resources.afa.net or by calling 877-927-4917. Remember, Resurrection Sunday is April 20th. Order your AFR Easter buttons today at 877-927-4917.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to turn the corner. Take your questions today on anything financial. What are you thinking about? Living, giving, owing, or growing will help you think about the practical decisions you need to make in your financial life as a steward in light of biblical wisdom, because we're managers of God's resources. So when the steward is seeking to be faithful in managing the master's resources, you have to understand the heart of the master. So we go back to the scriptures and look at the big ideas and themes that we're to give generously and hold God's money loosely, and money becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We should live with contentment. These are all of the ideas that we see in Scripture. In Luke 12, the parable of the rich fool, we need to be on our guard against covetousness and greed and trying to allow money and possessions to fill a role they were never intended or are able to occupy successfully. They can't give us purpose and meaning. They can't fill our deep longings. That only comes from God himself. So when we make God our true treasure, then money becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We want to remind you of that each day on this broadcast, but we also want to help you make some practical financial decisions in light of that truth. So let's dive in. We're going to begin in New Mexico today with Selena. How can I help?
Yes, my sister. I'm a POA of my sister. She is 76, and she has disabilities. We have gotten letters from medical facilities saying that their systems have been breached. I was trying to freeze her credit. Do I need to be concerned about that? She's never had credit and never will have credit.
Yes. No, I absolutely would. It's free to do and it can't hurt. And here's what it's going to do. It's going to protect her from identity theft and fraud, especially since her personal information may have been compromised in the data breach. And it's really not about you trying to protect her credit, because to your point, she doesn't have credit, doesn't have probably any kind of score that's going to be helpful to her. But the last thing you'd want to have to deal with is somebody assuming her identity, and then, you know, they don't, they go out and take a loan out in her name, and then it doesn't get paid, and then they sue her. And although it would be fraudulent, you would have to defend it and prove that it wasn't you, and you just don't want to have to deal with all that. So I would contact each of the three major credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. You'll need to provide her full name, date of birth, Social Security number, address, a copy of your POA if you're doing it, and then otherwise she could do it herself, and then confirm the freeze. They would send you a letter or an email once it's in place, and you should be able to do it online. You could also just place a fraud alert on her file, which is, again, free and easy to do. And then I would just check her credit report periodically, annualcreditreport.com, and make sure that nothing pops up that's not hers. But, it's just a good best practice, and it'll take you a little bit of time, but I think it's worth it.
Okay. Well, I had started in on the Endeavor, and they were making it very hard for me. Having to get a selfie picture of her and all the red tape stuff.
Yeah, I think it's worth it, just because as much of a hassle it is as it is now, it could really be a hassle if there's true identity theft that you have to deal with legally. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. By the way, and this is really interesting, a lot of people don't realize that you should freeze a child's credit. And here's why. They are prime targets for fraudsters, because kids don't typically use credit. Thieves then can misuse their Social Security number for years before the fraud is detected or discovered. And so perhaps something not on your radar. I know it wasn't on mine as I was a new dad, and yet it's a best practice. By the way, when it comes to thinking about credit and protecting our credit file, and protecting our credit score. You know, it's just there are some best practices that you need to employ when it comes to your own protection. Now, here's the thing. Unless your data has been compromised, and it seems like that happens pretty much, you know, every 6 months or even more frequently, somebody is allowing our information to be shared as a breach occurs, and they're willing to pay for credit monitoring for you, well, then take full advantage of it. Now, make sure you don't click on a link in an email. Go to that company's website that's claiming they had a breach, get the information directly from their site, and then pursue it that way. Don't, you know, provide your information through a phishing scam. But if it's being provided for you, why not have that extra layer of security? Now, for me, unless somebody else is paying for it, I just don't think you need credit monitoring as long as you're willing to put your own best practices in place. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're talking about making sure you're pulling your credit report, I would say 3 to 4 times a year, annualcreditreport.com. It's free. What are you looking for? Erroneous, incorrect information, accounts that aren't yours, that you don't recognize, that you want to dispute and get to the bottom of. So that would, I think, be key. Secondly, you want to make sure you're just using general best practices. So don't log into your bank account on the internet on public Wi-Fi. Somebody could compromise that connection and steal the credentials. Don't ever click on links and emails and provide information. I got a text message the other day, said it was from SunPass, which is the toll service in the state of Florida, said my account was past due. They were going to pursue legal action. I had a toll that I owed. For a second, I thought, you know what, this might be legitimate because I had been driving in Florida recently, and I wondered if maybe I was on a toll road and didn't realize it. But you know what? It's a scam. And what they're doing is they're getting you to click the link, provide your information to pay a small charge. It might be $5 or $6. And you might think, well, I'll just pay it. Who cares if it's real or not? And that way, if it is, I don't have to worry about somebody coming after me. Well, as soon as you do, they grab your information, and here's what they'll do, and I talked to somebody about this recently. As soon as they get it, they'll add it to a device like an iPhone with Apple Pay, and then they'll take it without the physical card and start immediately charging it. And if your company, your credit card company, doesn't pick up on it, well, by the time they do, there's, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars in charges. Now, you can dispute it, but it's a hassle. You're going to get a new credit card number. You're going to have to dispute everything. You're going to have to follow up, make sure they take it off. Better just not to click that link in a text message or an email, or if somebody calls you, even if they sound legit, don't give it out unless you contact them directly. I know I sound passionate. I am. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. Let's go to Rock Island, Illinois, WDLM. Hi, Jerry. How can I help?
Oh, thank you. I'm 81 years old. My wife passed away just about 7 months ago, and I'm still struggling with a lot of stuff because she took care of all of the paying the bills and stuff. And I'm technically illiterate. I can't do any .coms or nothing. Mm. I'm living from paycheck to paycheck, and it's a Social Security check. I get about $1,800 a month. And that is the gross because I don't have Social Security taken out of it or anything. And I'm just struggling from month to month, and now trying to figure out my kids took care of everything for the funeral and all that stuff. And I thought I noticed, but I'm still getting statements, but there are automatic payments coming out from credit cards that she had given to my two daughters just in case they have a tight spot. She's been helping them out quite regularly, and now they have the credit cards. I don't. I've got the bank card, I thought I noticed that there was, well, there's still charges and balances on there that were not paid off or discontinued, you know, and so I can check on that by the hard copy that I get from the bank every month, my statements. I haven't noticed anything yet. I thought I noticed something once, but I just don't know, you know, for sure what I can do. And I know that I'm not supposed to make any major decisions too soon after a death in the family, you know, and stuff like that. So,
yeah, very good. Well, I'm so sorry to hear about her passing. And I know this is challenging, assuming all the responsibility on top of just how difficult it is to lose a loved one, especially a spouse. You know, I think with regard to her, not only assets, but the debts that were there, I mean, there's the legal side of this, and then there's just kind of the moral side. I mean, I think legally what needs to happen is if these girls were authorized user, users. I mean, upon her passing, the credit card companies should have been notified of her passing, and then they will close the account out. You know, those are not supposed to be used unless the girls were joint account holders, and then therefore they're responsible for the debts moving forward. And I would say, you know, generally speaking, you know, if she was the only one that was on the account as the you know, primary account holder, and there was no joint status, technically, you know, there is you know, nobody else is responsible for those debts, but her estate would be. So her estate just consists of everything she owns at the time of death, which is bank accounts, real estate, vehicles, personal belongings, and yes, debts. And so, you know, as to you as her husband, you know, what role you would need to play in some of this, a lot of that comes down to the state law, whether it's common law or community law. And you could talk to a probate attorney about how her estate needs to be settled and what, if anything, you're responsible for. But clearly, to the extent there's, you know, ongoing or active credit accounts, those should not be used unless those the daughters are, you know, actually joint account holders, and therefore, you know, they're liable for anything that they're charging at this point. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, one of them is, her name has been put on the account.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
I don't even know when the insurance paid off, or if they did, or when they did, or how much it was. I don't know any of that stuff.
Okay. So she had life insurance?
Yes.
And were you the beneficiary or the girls?
Well, I don't think the girls were listed as a beneficiary. But okay. when she was sick, my one daughter is a nurse, and she is she's involved in the bank account, and yes, she was a POA for the bank account and stuff. But I've been too messed up to think much about this.
Okay.
So I'm just now getting into it.
And, yeah. Well, I think perhaps she would be the first call. You know, it sounds like she was probably the executor. If your wife had a will, she would have been the executor. She would have been the one that would have had to take care of your wife's estate and settling any obligations and distributing any assets. And, you know, if there was a life insurance payout, it would have, you know, should have gone directly to the beneficiary, whoever that was. So, it sounds like you need to get up to speed on kind of everything that transpired after and get an accounting of what took place upon her passing, you know, with the estate, with the assets and any life insurance proceeds. But, you know, I think you've got a little bit of digging to do. I know it's probably been a bit foggy to this point, but perhaps this is the time for you to kind of lean into that and just get a better understanding of what took place so you can make any decisions that are needed. Jerry, we're going to ask our faith and finance community to be praying for you. I know this is a difficult season. If we can help you further along the way, if you have questions, don't hesitate to reach out. May God bless you, sir. Let's go to Chicago. Hi, Ken. I know you're driving. How can I help you?
Okay, I'm no longer driving, but thank
okay,
you.
Good.
I love your show.
Thanks.
And have a couple of $1,000 that I'd like to invest, and wanted to know the best course of action, because I'd rather invest and spend it.
Okay, yeah, I like that. I mean, that's a good idea, I think, as a starting point. Talk to me about the time horizon on this money. How old are you now, and kind of how are you thinking about this money in light of when you might need it and for what purpose?
Well, that's just it. I don't need it. So I'm not looking for a quick turnaround.
All right.
I'm 65 years old.
Okay.
And just want to have a bigger nest than the one that I have.
All right. Do you have a retirement plan available to you?
Oh, yeah. I'm retired.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. Very good. And do you have an emergency fund? Do you have 3 to 6 months expenses in a savings account?
Already do. Yeah.
You do. Okay, got it. Yeah, so I think let's do this. I've got to take a break. When we come back, I'll talk to you about where you might be able to put this and what you might want to invest it in as you think about growing it for the future. But I love the fact that you're retired. You've got your income and your budget. Hopefully you're living below that. Sounds like you are because you got a little bit left over. You got that emergency fund. So we can certainly put this to work in a way that is properly diversified. We'll tackle that right after the break. Stay with us.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Before we head back to the phones today, let me just mention, you know, we're hearing from folks by email and through the mail and, of course, calling into the broadcast each day, just really having a difficult time with inflation and the challenges that creates with balancing the budget. And we'd love to help you. Two things I will offer for assistance. One is if you'd like to meet with somebody who can help you put that plan together, answer your basic questions, not a certified Kingdom advisor where you need wealth management or comprehensive planning. I'm talking about communicating as husband and wife around money, putting a spending plan together, putting a debt repayment plan together. You can do that on our website at faithfi.com. Just click Find a Professional. And when you choose either the debt or the budgeting category, you will be given a list of certified Christian financial counselors. These are men and women that their ministry and their professional training is helping God's people with really the pre-professional financial decisions. Again, around debt repayment, spending plans, marriage communication. You can find those folks again at faithfi.com. Click Find a Professional. And when you choose debt or budgeting, you'll get that list of certified Christian financial counselors to connect with. Secondly, I would encourage you to download the FaithFi app. You can do that on our website as well, faithfi.com, or search for FaithFi in your app store. It will help you set up a spending plan, manage that plan using the tried and true envelope system, but in a modern, beautiful, simple expression of that on your smartphone. Julie and I use it, my wife, every day. We're in it, looking at our envelopes, figuring out what we have left in our eating out, or when she's taking one of my daughters shopping for clothes. It's real simple to say, okay, here's how much we have left. Let's make it work until next month. Well, you can't do that if you don't know where you stand, and the only way to stay on budget is to have a budget, but you also need to have a system to control the flow of money. The FaithFi app can help you do that. Check it out. out today, faithfi.com. All right, back to the phones. Chicago is where we were talking to Ken. He's got a few thousand dollars beyond his emergency fund. He's in retirement. His bills are covered, and he's just wondering, where do I put it? And, Ken, one option would be a Roth IRA, but it would require you to have some earned income. Are you working at all, even part-time, or are you fully retired?
I'm fully retired, but I am a musician.
Okay, yeah.
I play for churches.
Okay, so, cool. Yeah, and do you get paid when you do that?
I do, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that would be earned income because you basically are self-employed or an independent contractor and getting paid by churches as a musician. So as long as you didn't put in any more than you earned up to the contribution limit, so for somebody over the age of 50, that would be $8,000. I know that was the 2024 number, the 2025 IRA contribution limit. Let me just make sure I'm looking at the right number here. These numbers change all the time, and sometimes I get lost. Yes, still $8,000. So that would be one option. The nice thing about the Roth is you can always get back your original contribution at any time. You just take it out because you've already paid tax on it. It's after-tax dollars. But as long as it's been open for 5 years, then you can get the gains tax-free. So whatever you put in and whatever it grows to, if you need to take that out after 5 years, you wouldn't pay any tax on that either, which is a great blessing. And there's no required minimum distribution when it comes to a Roth IRA like there is with a 401k or a traditional IRA. Now, where would you put that money? Well, again, as long as you had at least a 5, preferably a 10-year time horizon, I'd probably just put it in a high-quality, faith-based investing mutual fund. I could give you a list of those. Or you could use like a robo-advisor, like the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, where you know they would just build a diversified index portfolio, and you know that would allow you to you know, make sure that you've got it in lots of different companies, and it would just capture the broad moves of the market over time. But give me your thoughts on all that.
So do I go to a bank or do I go to like an investment institution?
Yeah, and I would use like Fidelity or Schwab. Yeah, you certainly could, or you could use one of the robo solutions, which is kind of a do-it-yourself option. So if you just put in your search engine Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, you could open a Roth IRA in about 3 minutes online, and you'd make your deposit, and then you'd answer a series of questions, and then that money, every time you deposited more money in that account, it would automatically be invested, and you'd just make sure you don't put in any more than you have earned income or the limit, which is going to be $8,000.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right.
Gotcha.
We appreciate your
right,
call. Let's
you
do this.
So
I'm going to send you a resource that you can read and maybe give you a little bit more comfort level and some education. It's called the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, and it's all about investing, but through the lens of a biblical worldview. So, Ken, you stay on the line. We'll put that in the mail to you as our gift. And once you read it, if you have questions, give us a call. Let's stay in Illinois and welcome Charnay. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob, it's Charnay. Listen, my thing is this. I'm getting ready to retire in about 8 months. I'm eligible to get my full Social Security in May. So now they're sending me emails from an outside source, and I had a couple of Zoom meetings with the guy about Fidelity Guarantee annuities. And I don't know. I didn't make any commitments. So I just thought I'd call you first to see what's your take on it.
All right. So you've got a TSP plan, a thrift savings plan, because you work for the government. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And are you fully retired at this point?
No, I'm still working right now.
Okay. So there's not really a whole lot you can do with that TSP until you separate from employment, right?
Yeah, but I'm getting ready to, though.
You're trying to be ready.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so an annuity, whether it's from Fidelity or somebody else, a guaranteed annuity essentially provides you a steady and predictable income stream starting either immediately or at a future date. And, you know, the while you're waiting, it can offer you a guaranteed interest rate. So these are typically lower than you would get in terms of the total return if you were to roll that over to an IRA and have somebody invest it for you. But the benefit of that is, even though you're settling for a lower return and you lose access to some of the money, at least for a period of time, you know, you have some guarantees there where Fidelity's taking the risk instead of you. And so if it gives you peace of mind to know that there's, you know, a guaranteed return and you don't have to worry about what the stock market does, well, an annuity would be, you know, the option that you might want to consider. And Fidelity's a very strong company. And so I would, you know, they're very highly rated, and I would feel comfortable with that. How much do you have in the TSP, Charnay?
I have about 120,000, and they've told me that I would always get, for the rest of my life, $13,000 or $14,000. About $13,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, but my PTSP won't last me for the rest of my life. Say I live to 80, that $120 won't, $20,000 won't last.
But you've got 150, right? So they're saying if you put it into an annuity, 100, you said 140,000, is that right?
120.
120. And they're going to give you $1,100 a month right away?
Not a month. No. They'll give me an average of $12,000 or $13,000 a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Which come $13,000 is about $1,100 a month. So they're looking at, what is your age right now?
I'm 66, and I'll be 66 in 8 months and come May. And that's when I'll draw my Social Security.
All right. And is that $1,300 or that $13,000 a year, is that going to be critical for you to be able to balance your budget, or do you have enough income from other sources?
Well, it's questionable, but at least it's there if I need it. But if I don't need it, can they just keep it?
Yeah, I mean, so that'd be the question, is whether or not you want to convert it to an income stream immediately or you want to do it in the future. If you do it as you age, if you wait, you'll get more every month or every year because your life expectancy is shorter and the money's growing. And so that would be the key. I think the question is, would you be better off using something like a guaranteed annuity, or would you be better off turning it over to an advisor, letting the advisor manage it? And now if you needed to get to larger sums of money or you want to try to get a better return, you know, then you could do that by the advisor managing it with stocks and bonds. But if you say, no, I'm really not interested in that, I don't want to take any risk, well, then something like this guaranteed annuity, whether you start taking an income on it now or in the future, you know, could be a great option, and Fidelity's a great company.
You answered my question. I mean, I just have to make a decision, but at least I know either way, it won't be a bad decision.
I think that's right. I would get some wise counsel if you feel uncertain. And I'd recommend a certified Kingdom advisor there in Illinois. You can find a CKA in your area on our website, Charnay. Just go to faithfi.com, click find a professional, and any one of those folks could help you make this decision. We appreciate your call today. Quickly to Cleveland, Jay, I understand you're wondering about freezing your credit. Is there a downside? Is that right?
Correct, Rob.
Yeah. You know, the only downside, and I apologize for cutting you off, but I've just got a few seconds here. The only downside is just the hassle factor. If you go out to get a new loan, you're going to have to provide the PIN number to thaw your credit. Apart from that, there's no downside. It's free, and it's going to protect you from identity theft. So I'm a big fan. You got to do it with each of the three bureaus, but I would go ahead and get that done, Jay. I think it's a great option. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. Let me say a big thanks to my team today. Certainly couldn't do this without them. Handling our phones today was Adam Suddeth. Producing and engineering today, Mr. Devin Patrick, and providing me with great research today and just helping navigate the program is Jim Henry, my partner in crime here on Faith and Finance. Thanks to you for being along with us today, and we'll look forward to having you back tomorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.